Please turn to the Word of God in 1 Thessalonians, continuing in our present study series. We are now on to chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And as you will see in verse 1, it says, "Wherefore?" And that takes us back a few verses so that you understand why that word is used there. So we shall read from verse 14 of chapter 2. So I will repeat that again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, reading to verse 5 of chapter 3. "For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews suffered, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they pleased not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always. For the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost." Now that gives us the background. Why? Paul says, "Wherefore?" Yeah, when we could no longer forbear. Now, continue in verse 17. "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, I wanted to come to you, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing but you? Are not even you in the presence of the Lord Jesus at his coming? Ye are our glory and joy." Referring to the people, the believers in the church of the Thessalonians or Thessalonica. Now we come to the text proper, chapter 3. "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear or just patiently wait, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone." That is, Paul with his other companion stayed on in Athens. Verse 2 says, "And sent Timothy," or Timotheus, "our brother and minister of God, our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, dear members of the church in Thessalonica." Verse 3, "That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know, because I warned you. For this cause," verse 5, "when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor should be in vain." Amen. Our text for meditation is in verse 3. Please pay attention. "That no man should be moved from his position of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning to say, dearly beloved, coming into this church of the Lord Jesus, being a member or a visitor who is a believer, you are in the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, God had mercy and took you in. Verse 3 says, let no man ever move from this position. So that is the theme we want to think and talk about. Tuesday, we had a function called the Golden Years Fellowship. And about 30 of us went to the Garden Hotel for a morning. And that morning was to prove a special morning. That was the last function that Sister Mary attended. It was happy. She was in good spirits. And we talked, we sang. That night she came for prayer meeting. And she requested to sing We Would See Jesus, although we did not sing it. That night was her last night. Until Thursday, there was no contact. Tuesday night, Wednesday the whole day. Thursday, we received news that Sister Mary had gone to be with the Lord. I said, dear friends, never you be confident in your own life, for what is on the morrow we do not know. So we have yesterday and the day before done her the last rites. And her testimony is very clear. Be not moved from your position of faith is our theme. And I say, this lady, now 80 years on this earth, ended, in her last days, has been constantly, frequently talking to her friends. I want to see Jesus. I want to go. The home above is waiting for me. That's why that night she requested, although we did not have the opportunity to sing, We Would See Jesus, 474 in the hymnal. So we heard her testimony. We inquired and found that she had been a Christian all her life. From the time she was a child, she followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I say, as we think on this, the theme that no man should be moved, I want to use this short anecdote to impress on all of us here, following the Lord Jesus is the only worthwhile following of anything. You may follow your profession as engineer or lawyer, whatever you're following. But I say the greatest following is the Lord Jesus. And when we follow Him, keep praying. That verse says that no man should move, should be moved. There are so many things wanting to move us away from our position. Every day, temptations abound. Unhappy circumstances. But the Lord says, in this world, you will have tribulation. They will come to you. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, to keep you remembering what we have just said, here is a chorus for musicians. It is 335, the chorus only, 335 chorus. And to help us remember, take this chorus back with you, 335, And I've entitled this, Steadfast, Unmovable. For if it is worth becoming a Christian, it is worth continuing a Christian. Because it is the only profession, the only position that leads you to life and to the heavenly home. The only profession that leads you to hope that never ends. So this chorus is well known to all of us. So we hear the first note, we will sing, keep on believing, Jesus is near. Keep on believing, there's nothing to fear. Believing, Jesus is near. Keep on believing, there's nothing to fear. Keep on believing, this is the way. Faith in the night as well as the day. The Word of God says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. All you need is faith, and faith that God gives. Not any faith, not any kind of faith, only the faith that is founded on the Lord Jesus. So I say, keep on believing. We sing it again. Keep on believing, Jesus is near. Keep on believing, there's nothing to fear. Keep on believing, this is the way. Faith in the night as well as the day. Now to extend our thought on the same theme. Faith is obeying. Obeying all that God says. What He says, you say amen and do it. It's no use to say you believe, you hear the word and you don't do it. Faith is obeying and doing our best. Faith is obeying. This is the test. When we obey Him, He'll do the rest. He'll see you to journey's end until we arrive at our heavenly home, safe and sound. All because you obeyed. Who obeyed first? Who was it first who obeyed? In the Christian calendar, Abraham believed God. And he obeyed whatever the Lord says. And he followed the Lord for 100 years. Our sister Mary was 70 years. How old are you? Keep on believing, keep on obeying. Faith is obeying, singing. Faith is obeying all that God says. Faith is obeying and doing our best. Faith is obeying. This is the test. When we obey Him, He'll do the rest. Singing is good. Sitting in the church comfortably is good. The test is when you go home. The test is when you meet with temptation in society, at your place of work, tomorrow, sometime in the week. Tests will come. Will you pass the test? Let's sing this again. Faith is obeying all that God says. Faith is obeying and doing our best. Faith is obeying. This is the test. Faith obeying. Faith says, be steadfast, not up and down all the time, like a yo-yo. Someday good, someday no good. Pray that God will keep you steadfast, faithful, unmovable. That's the theme, isn't it, today? That no man should be moved. Don't you move or be moved away from that position of faith. The only safe position for any of us, for all of us here today, stand fast, hold fast to that profession. Stand on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Keep on following Him, serve Him, obey Him. Faith says, be steadfast, unmovable, never be moved. No matter what other people do or what other people say to tempt you, don't you move. Faith says, be steadfast, for He is able, our Lord who saved us, who began the faith in us, He is able to keep us from falling, unblameable. Faith is believing God is able. You love Him, obey Him, serve Him. Let's sing this. Faith says, be steadfast, unmovable. Faith says, be steadfast, for He is able to keep from falling, unblameable. Faith is believing God is able again. Faith says, be steadfast, unmovable. Faith says, be steadfast, for He is able to keep from falling, unblameable. Believing God is able. All from 1 to 3 in the series now together. Keep on believing Jesus is near. Keep on believing there's nothing to fear. Keep on believing this is the way. Faith in the night as well as the day. Faith is obeying all that God says. Faith is obeying and doing our best. Faith is obeying, this is the test. When we obey Him, He'll do the rest. Faith says, be steadfast, unmovable. Faith says, be steadfast, for He is able to keep from falling, unblameable. Faith is believing God is able. Amen. Back to your text, please. The background of this text is that because of persecution, starting at the Philippi, Paul had to flee from Thessalonica and on to Berea. Who were the persecutors? The Jews, mainly. And this passage tells us that the Jews not only crucified Jesus, but kept on persecuting the believers. Look at verse 14 of chapter 2. Paul addresses the believers, and the majority of believers in Thessalonica were Greeks, some Jews, but mainly Greeks. So he says, you brethren, verse 14, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea, Jerusalem, and the surrounding area in Judea are in Christ Jesus. Whether you are Greek or Jews, When you come into the church of Jesus Christ, you belong to Jesus Christ. And you have also suffered the same suffering as we did back in Jerusalem and in Judea. Why? It is the wrong concept to think that, oh, once I believe in Jesus, everything will be smooth sailing. There is no such teaching. But our Jesus, our Lord, says, in this world, you want to believe in me, to follow me, you will have tribulation. Now, this is the theme for this morning, that none of us who have believed in Jesus Christ should ever move away from that position because of suffering. Suffering is part and parcel of our Christian calling. And the sooner we realize and accept this as part of Christianity, the better it is for all of us. Read on, verse 15. The Jews who have been persecuting us both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, even as Paul, as Saul, in his ignorance, had persecuted the Christians. So there is a movement from that time, before that time, until this time, there is a movement energized by Satan to get people to persecute Christians in some way, one way or another. So Paul says, these persecutors killed the Lord Jesus and persecute us. And they please not God and are contrary to all men. Verse 16. They forbid us to speak to the Gentiles like they did in Thessalonica. Remember how Paul visited the synagogue. Every time he went to a city, he goes and looks up the synagogue. That is the place where the Jews met. And there he'll explain to them, you all are waiting for the Messiah. Messiah has come. Jesus Christ, crucified, risen from the dead, is the Messiah. And this message is the only message we preach. Now, the result in Thessalonica is some Jews believe, but most of them were Greeks, Gentiles. Then there arose a persecution. That is why Paul had to flee from Thessalonica. That is why he's so concerned. For what? Not for his own safety. He's very concerned that the Christians who had been converted in Thessalonica continue in the faith, that they be not moved from that position of faith. And this is the same concern we all have. I have, for you all, you all should have for yourself, concern that you be a true and steadfast Christian. Never deny the Lord, never betray the Lord, never be moved from your position, even as the believers in the church of Thessalonica. They were steadfast. They stood on the Word of God and on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the disobedient Jews, unbelieving Jews, they stirred up trouble and they persecuted. Where does it say? Verse 16. Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always. For the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. These people who persecute Christians, they do not get off scot-free. Please do not be mistaken there. They may seem to be all right. They may even prosper. But there is a day when God will take them to task. When the Lord Jesus returns, do you know that? I'll read to you. You turn with me. Just two pages forward. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We were on 1 Thessalonians. Now just two more pages. It is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. All right, these are the words of Paul to those who may be worried. Why is it that we are always persecuted? Paul says, verse 7, to you who are troubled, worried about these persecutions, rest with us. Take it easy. Be comforted. Don't be agitated. Don't be impatient. When our Lord Jesus shall be revealed. This is the one final climactic event that we all are expecting. And the one hope that gives us tremendous future to look forward to, that causes us not to be moved from the position where we are in. Never to be moved. Why? Because the Savior who gave us that faith, that hope, that position, He is coming. And that makes all the difference, because Jesus is coming. Verse 7. Second part. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, first coming Bethlehem as a helpless babe, second coming Jerusalem with His mighty angels in power and great glory, a different coming. Dear friends, are you ready for it? Do you believe it really? Do you? For if you do, you are going to live your lives very differently from the one who doesn't. The one who doesn't believe Jesus is coming. So this verse, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, gives you the greatest confidence to serve the Lord, to follow Him, and not to be moved. Never you be moved. Verse 8, Jesus will return in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that matters in the whole world. Not whether you have much or little, not whether you are up or down. The one thing that matters is whether you have received the gospel, the good news that God loves you, and that Jesus Christ has come for you, given His life for you, died for you, that your sins may be forgiven, and rose from the dead for you, to show you that believing in Jesus Christ has a future, a glorious, wonderful future beyond death and the grave. So remember then, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, is the greatest comfort to those who are under persecution. Now, go back to verse 18. All right. Remember that this setting of this passage is that Paul is in Athens. The letter is to be sent to the Christians in Thessalonica, a few hundred miles away. And Paul is very concerned, as every good pastor must be concerned, for his flock, even as the pastors here are concerned for every member of the flock. That is our joy and our privilege and our duty, and this is the same with Paul. He is very concerned. I am unable to come and visit you because of the persecution and the uprising. Whenever I appear, they will be attacking me, so I cannot come at the moment, but I am constantly thinking about you. You ever heard of the saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder? Yes. He wants to see them, but he is not able to, because Satan hindered him, made obstacles and obstructions that he could not go to Thessalonica. So he wrote this. Now, verse 18. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, again and again, I tried to come to you, but there were hindrances. Who put the hindrances? When there is a hindrance to a good work of God, it is the work of Satan. But Satan hindered us. Verse 19. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? What is it we labor for? Paul sets the question. Why am I so concerned about you? Did you not come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ when I first preached to you in Thessalonica, having fled from, having received bad treatment in Philippi? But when I came, you received the gospel. Now receive, remember, you are very precious to me. Paul is a Jew. The believers are mainly Greeks. How come he is now so attached to the Greeks? It's got nothing racial, but it has got a very important common ground. Because when you heard the gospel, you received the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life. You are changed. You become a Christian. So there is that bond. Dearly beloved, the same exists in this church and congregation. There is a bond. Although we are not able to have that daily close communion because of numbers, nevertheless, the bond is very real. We meet with you all in prayer, praying for you, concerned for you. Why? Because we have a common bond, a common Savior, a common faith, a common fellowship in this church, and the common Word of God to read and to guide us, so that even though we are unable to have the intimate one-to-one fellowship around the table every day, nevertheless, at the throne of grace, we have that fellowship, that close communion, that wonderful bond in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Paul describes this bond as verse 19 says, listen, what is our hope? You are our hope. You are our joy. You are our crown of rejoicing because you have responded and now you're added to the kingdom of God, the everlasting kingdom of God. We are so happy. You are the evidence, the reward of our suffering in Thessalonica. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus returns, we shall be able to present you before His glory to say, Lord, you died for this. These people have put their faith in you. Your death was not in vain. This is our joy, our crown of rejoicing, our hope. This makes sense for us to labor day and night for the advancement, for the growth of this congregation, you and I. Verse 20, verse 19. All right, the second part. Second part of verse 19. Are not even you members of Calvary Pandan, Bible Presbyterian Church, are not you in the presence of the Lord Jesus at His coming, our glory and our joy? Oh, dear friends, it is worth striving for the faith of the gospel. It is worth your foregoing your pleasures to go and witness to someone. I received a letter from a place called Kansas, America, from a certain lady. She said, I was so glad when I met you in Singapore during my visit. You know, when you used to come by and just fetch us to church 40 years ago, we lived there, Life Church, and their house was in between, on the way. Every Sunday we'll go by and pick three young people, children. And she wrote to say, because you cared, because you came and fetched us to Sunday school, today, two of us are believers. She is a believer, married to a believer, living in America, and she is serving in the church, taking a part-time course in theology, and she says, I want to thank you. I said, if the same to all of us here, what are you doing for the Lord Jesus Christ? That someone because of you may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, because you cared, because you spoke a word. Maybe you visited when that person was sick, in hospital, or in need of something. You've shown kindness. And because of that, that person says, well, there may be something in Christianity. I go and give it a try. Why not? Dear friends, it is worth it. Never you move from your position of faith. Never you move from your position of servanthood. Becoming a Christian is to be joined to the Lord Jesus Christ and have a part in that same ministry. And that ministry is to be a servant. Give me a servant's heart, O Lord. We're not here to be masters, to lord it over someone, to be elevated to a high position. No, none of the thing. We are here because we are servants of God, laborers together with God for the sake of the kingdom of God. And from that position, never let anyone be moved away. For it is the blessing, it is the position of greatest blessing. Now, makes sense. Having considered all the verses before chapter 3, now we read chapter 3. Will you follow me, please? Chapter 3. Wherefore, because we have considered all the happenings of the last few verses, when we could no longer wait and bear it, we thought we must do something, even though I'm in Athens. Now, that is the reason and the origin of this letter that was sent to the Thessalonian Christians and which has blessed us all these 2,000 years. Isn't that great? 1 Thessalonians, followed by 2 Thessalonians, just a few chapters, but full of wonderful truth. What it means to be a servant of God, what it means to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, what it means to be steadfast and to hold on, hold fast, do the gospel, never let it go. Now read on. Verse 2. And I sent Timothy. Now who was Timothy? You remember in his missionary journey, he found this young man. And he was given to know that he's a godly young man, and he found him to be so. And he took him on to be an assistant. And so, when he wrote to Timothy, he says, my son in the faith. But after a while, when he had proved himself, and I say we also treat our younger people the same, when you've proved yourself, no longer a son in the faith, but become a brother, fellow worker. This is it. Verse 2. He sent Timothy, our brother, minister of God, servant of the Most High God. How many of you would like to be a servant, a minister of God? Simply to go for Him without promise of any kind of recompense. Simply to go to know that there is a need of the gospel for someone to hear it, and you can be the instrument. You can be the messenger. Why not? Think of this. I've given out the Reason Why booklet. Let me ask you, how many of you have studied that booklet? Did you all receive it? The Reason Why? I've printed 26,000 by now. It's over 35 years. Please read it. Now, the second question that I want to ask you is, have you thought of giving it to somebody and explain to that somebody why it is reasonable to be a Christian? The reason why. That is why that book was written. Now you give it a thought. Yes. Christianity is not theory. Christianity is very practical and full of opportunities for you to serve the Lord. Only thing is you think you are not wanted. Maybe you can't do it. You just exclude yourself. You lose the blessing, but I say today, think. All right, verse 2. And send Timothy, our brother, servant of God, our fellow laborer in the gospel, to establish you. Who are the you? Who are they? The Christians in Thessalonica. They were comforted, they were strengthened, encouraged when Timothy came with a letter and spoke to them. Can you be such a comforter and encourager? Are you? wherever you go. We have a very wonderful visitation committee. Some of you have been visited. Some of you have gone visiting. Visitation committee needs people who care, who pray, who are willing to go, so that you can go to be an angel to someone, to bring comfort, to bring encouragement, to bring hope. Can you do it? From that position, verse 3, no man should be moved by affliction. Please remember, we are called not just to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, all of us, but we are called also to suffer for Him. This is the Lord's will. For if Jesus suffered, He endured the cross, despised the shame, went to the cross to die for you, is it too much for you to suffer a little inconvenience, a little affliction for Him, to suffer a little trouble for His sake? Let us resolve from this position, no man should be moved by afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Who appointed us? Our Lord Jesus says, in this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Follow me. Take up your cross daily. Deny yourself. Follow. Keep on following. Because the end of the following is life and joy and peace and God's wonderful reward reserved for them who go. Verse 4, for verily when we were with you, we told you that we should suffer tribulation, and it has come to pass. So, mark my words, do not believe when they say, you become a Christian, come with us, and there is plenty of prosperity, health and wealth. Every sickness will go. I say, every sickness will not go. You still age. You still get heart attack. You still die. All of us. Christianity is not to save us from physical death, but to save us from spiritual death. To save us, to give us a hope beyond death, beyond this grave. Now we read the final verse and we have come to our time. 5. For this cause, because I was so burdened for you, because I wanted to reach out to you, I send you Timothy. Now for this cause, when I could no longer bear it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means Satan have tempted you, and you may fall from the faith, and our work will be in vain. This is the concern, dear friends. May you have the same concern. What concern? Concern that your faith hold fast. Concern that you never fall from the faith. You never be moved from your position of faith. And how can that concern be met? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame. He did it. You can do it.